Welcome inside the Fantasy Sports Network studios. This is another edition of FST. We are live here in Toronto. I'm Chris Meany. Thanks for taking the time to stop by. High stakes week starts today with Tony Cincotta. We're going to have Greg Ambrosius a little bit later on in the week. Chris Vaccaro, friend of the network. Lots of good stuff here as we continue theme weeks as fantasy baseball season is just right around the corner. Some baseball news and just a little bit off the top here. Plus, David Barnett from Tour Junkies is going to drop by. It's the Honda Classic. We'll get some picks, some fades, some one-and-done plays with Barnett in a little bit. But first, just some news off the top. And happy Tuesday. Hopefully, everybody had a fantastic holiday in Canada, in the States, of course. And what we missed was DeMarcus Cousins was finally traded. I mean, it's only been rumors now for about 2 years, this guy getting dealt. He was traded. It's finalized as of today. DeMarcus Cousins acquired by the New Orleans Pelicans for a lot. I don't want to say junk. What kind of junk? Langston Galloway, Tyreek Evans, Buddy Hield, the 2017 first round and second round pick. Amari Caspi also headed to the Pelicans as well. What does this do for Cousins? I mean, first of all, this is just an unbelievable front court. I don't know if I've seen something like this since Duncan and Robinson back in the Spurs days. Davis and Cousins, Anthony Davis, you know, those are the only two guys over the last 4 years that have averaged 20 points and 10 rebounds. How's this all going to shape up for Fantasyland? I think it could cut into some, you know, production, you know, usage rate, second in the league for Cousins behind Westbrook. Anthony Davis is right there, top five as well in the league. So this is just unbelievable. It's going to give teams like maybe the Warriors fits in the playoffs. Pelicans only 2.5 games back of the eighth spot. But what does it mean from fantasy? I mean, you're not obviously going to drop these guys. They're going to be fine. They may not be able to put up some of those monster performances we've seen from the past with Davis and with Cousins. But from a full-out fantasy standpoint, Willie Cauley-Stein needs to be rostered. He needs to be picked up. He's essentially the only big man left for the Sacramento Kings. They have a whole lot of guards. We can talk about Buddy Hield as someone who, you know, can step in, maybe a bigger role. Maybe he's okay. Vlade Divac had a lot of positive things to say about him. But Vlade Divac also saying that he had a better trade 2 days ago. I'm sure he's had multiple better trades over the past two seasons, but one thing that people are not talking about is when Vlade Divac said he had a better trade 2 days ago, is he saying, you know, talk to some of these agents from these players that, you know, voided this deal. Maybe perhaps Brendan Ingram for the LA Lakers didn't want to go to Sacramento. Maybe the trade didn't want to work out. Maybe Cousins didn't want to go to the Boston Celtics. It's just an example of some of these players who have the agents who can void the trade. So it's tough for Vlade Divac and the Kings, but honestly, this is a direction that Sacramento had to go. It's just technical after technical after technical with this guy. Just some of the quotes that Divac said, a winning mentality, they want to change the culture in Sacramento. So it's a change that needed to happen. You were never going to get a positive return for DeMarcus Cousins. On the flip side of this, who's going to step up for the Pelicans? Because they have Jrue Holiday. They just lost a lot of guards, as I mentioned. People may run to the waiver wire and pick up Langston Galloway. I think it's an okay. Tyreek Evans is going to frustrate you all year long. Buddy Hield needs to be owned. But maybe Tim Frazier is going to step up. He was fine at the start of the year when Jrue Holiday wasn't around. Look for him maybe to get a few more minutes. Etuan Moore is somebody who, you know, has come back from injury over the past couple games. I believe he's taken about 20 shot attempts. So that's positive news. You know, you're going to see guys like this, these minutes start to increase. Are they going to bring fantasy relevance? Maybe not in 12 teams, certainly not in 10 team seasonal formats, but people that you can play in seasonal formats. As for the Kings owner, Vivek Ranadive. I still butchered it right there. Anyways, the Kings owner, I don't even have to say your name right because you've said a lot of just negative stuff over the past, like crazy hot takes. This is a guy who just compared Holiday maybe to Steph Curry, said that there's some comparisons there. He feels like Hield can be a Steph Curry. He also said that Nick Stauskas was Klay Thompson-like a couple years ago when he was with the Kings. And he also said when he was part owner of the Golden State Warriors, he said that Monte Ellis would be the better keep over Steph Curry. And remember when both of those guys, you remember the Warriors a few years ago, they were pretty good when Curry was dealing with ankle injuries, and Monte Ellis is actually putting up better lines than Curry. But good thing they didn't listen to him because he's got some ridiculous hot takes. So that's all there from, I got a lot of notes here, NBA. I mean, there's a lot of guards here. Sacramento's going to continue to make some moves. Maybe Darren Collison, who's their unrestricted free agent, could be on the way out as well. So keep an eye on him. If he's available on your waiver wire, he could get a big boost and certainly just play him now that there's just nobody else left in Sacramento. Sacramento, a crazy deal that went down. Josh Donaldson dealing with a mild right calf strain. He was on crutches over the weekend. Before he talked to the media, he ditched the crutches and limped his way over to the cameras. This is not great news at all. You know, he dealt with a calf injury last season, played through it, said normally he can play through some of these injuries. It's the first time he's ever had this injury flare up in spring training. So just keep an eye on Donaldson. He's probably going to be fine. This is not great news. And you know what? Maybe, you know, you haven't drafted yet and you're going to start doing some drafts. Maybe he falls down. I was able to get Max Scherzer in the third round of a draft over the weekend. So people are just worried about some of these injuries. So maybe terrific value for Josh Donaldson come draft day. Dylan Betances, some bad blood for sure with the Yankees following an arbitration hearing over the weekend that he did not win, was looking for $5 million. He got $3 million. You think maybe the Yankees could have met somewhere in the middle, but listen, Dylan Betances is not happy. He's pretty frustrated with how this went down. He says it's unfair. They just sat me in a room and trash-talked me for about a half an hour, or an hour and a half, rather. Listen, Betances, suck it up, bud. Yes, I get it. You have 126 strikeouts last year, the most out of any reliever. You've had the most strikeouts out of any reliever for the past 3 years. You're the only reliever to go to the All-Star game 3 straight years. But this is the process. Don't get mad at the Yankees. Get mad at the system. That's what arbitration hearings are all about. You go into the room, and they're not going to say anything positive about you. You say the same thing about P.K. Subban with the Habs. Mark Bergevin didn't want to sign him to 9 years, $9 million. And the owner stepped in and said, listen, this is bad blood. It's bad for the media. Some of these reports get leaked out. It's never a good thing. These arbitration hearings are not great, so there's going to be a lot of negative talk surrounding Betances. And some of the talk, you know, from President Randy Levine had said, listen, he's not a closer. Closers get paid $5 million. He is what he is. He's a setup man, and that's it. Yeah, those comments are a little bit harsh, but you can't be mad at the Yankees. You got to be mad at the system. The Yankees are an organization, one of the biggest organizations in sports that we know, the most championships out of anybody out of the Big Four. They have a way about going their way about things with things, and they're not going to just change their way because of Dylan Betances. But you could have just given him $4 million and avoided this altogether. Now, he's probably going to leave through free agency in a couple years. He no longer is going to want to stick with this organization. He had a lot of confidence himself to say this is somebody who made just over $500,000 last season. In the grand scheme of things from fantasy land, and that's what we're all about, trying to put a fantasy spin on things, this is somebody who doesn't get drafted highly because he doesn't have those save opportunities. Aroldis Chapman is going to close games for the Yankees, but he's definitely, as I just mentioned, 126 strikeouts, the most out of any reliever. The strikeout percentage is off the charts. It's one of the highest in the bigs over the past 3 years as well. So he does have terrific value in leagues. I don't care about the saves. He's going to return value. He's better than rolling out a mediocre starter here and there that you're just going to be dependent on matchups. So it's a tough situation for Betances. I think he's going to walk, but it is what it is. Arbitration hearings are not great. Let's some hockey news before we get with Tony Cincotta. The Ottawa Senators had a rough weekend. Bobby Ryan, finger broken. That's like the fourth time he's broken his hand in 3 years. He's going to be out 3 to 6 weeks. Mike Hoffman, lower body injury, left that game against the Jets on Sunday. Mark Stone took an elbow to the head from Jacob Trouba, who suspended 2 games, who now could be dropped, by the way. By the time he comes back when the Jets return from their bye week, it's not going to be until March 3rd. I wrote a lot about these Ottawa Senators injuries on rotoexperts.com. 9 teams on the bye this week. They're 4-14-4 teams coming off a bye week, minus 29 goal differential. What do you do for the Ottawa Senators? There's a look at their top 10 scoring. Ryan Dzingel is probably somebody who you can pick up and roster is going to get more top 6 minutes. Everything that I read this morning is the injuries are not severe, but no Stone or no Hoffman as of today in practice, but both traveled with the team. They're in New Jersey tonight on a 4-game road trip, so at least they traveled with the team, but they haven't been practicing as of today, so questionable, I guess, at best for tonight. But positive news that Stone looks like he escaped another concussion. What a nasty hit. Tony Cicada's in here next. It's high stakes week. We're going to talk about Josh Donaldson, Giancarlo Stanton. This guy's going like 40th pick overall. Don't you think he can return first round value? We'll talk to Tony about that in a little bit. Stick around. Welcome back inside the Fantasy Sports Network studios. I'm Chris Meaney. We are live. This is High Stakes Week, and let's bring in Tony Cincotta from Roto Experts. Tony, you do some fantastic work on Roto Experts, of course, but on Fantasy Radio, man, you're all over the place. I want to talk to you about baseball, but I need to bring up the DeMarcus Cousins trade with you because this is something we've talked about on radio forever now. Surprise?
I'm shocked. When I think of the New Orleans Pelicans, right, go out and get this guy, and then you read the stories of Lottie Divesh had a better offer 2 days before he actually made this trade, but I don't know who he was with, what he was doing, and then the owner Basically saying, hey, you know what? Buddy Hield is Stephon Curry and Klay Thompson's body. What the heck is going on here?
He also compared Stauskas to Klay Thompson before, and when he was part of the Warriors, I said this off the top, Tony, that he'd rather have kept Monte Ellis over Steph Curry. So, yeah, he's 0 for 3 for hot takes for sure. Let's talk some baseball, because clearly we could talk all day about that trade and how it was awful for the Pelicans. It is what it is, or awful for the Kings, rather. Yeah. It is what it is. But let's talk about Matt Wieters, who just signed a 2-year deal with the Washington Nationals. They had Derek Norris as their catcher. You and I have been talking before about people who do early drafts, and you've done a ton of them already, Tony, is getting these guys who have, you know, no team. We talked about Mike Napoli, terrific value. Yeah. What do you make of Matt Wieters? Is this somebody you've already drafted, or is this somebody that you're going to draft now?
I was going to draft him, but I never got him in a lot of leagues that I played in, and I thought he was going for extreme value. He was going about the 16th catcher off the board right now in NFBC drafts, so he'll move up now. He'll be a top 12 catcher each and every draft. Going to Washington Nationals, pretty good offense there. I'm a little concerned about Dusty Baker and some of the comments he's making. The latest thing that I heard was that Adam Eaton was not going to be batting in the leadoff spot that Trey Turner was, and they were going to move Adam Eaton down to the 6 or 7 spot in the lineup, which I can't believe that. I just think Dusty Baker has, you know, nothing to talk about this early in spring training, and they can't let that happen.
Yeah, Baker does some questionable stuff, and that would be one of them. Eaton, I think, he's a typical leadoff guy, and we've seen that for the White Sox. Great on-base percentage, can steal you some bags. I'm sure that won't last. Let's move on. And another guy who's going, you know, I feel like he's kind of going late, 8th overall in outfielders, NFBC, pick number 38, Giancarlo Stanton. Are you in on him? Don't you feel like he can return first-round value?
You just hit it on the head. This is what you do. When you get to the third round, right, you get up there and you pick. And I did this with Josh Hamilton in 2012, and I won a ton of money. Who is the one guy, if everything goes right, that can bring me first-round value? That's the guy. And everybody's going to look at the injury situation. Every year he's hurt. It's never the same injury, so he doesn't have a chronic injury. He got hit in the face with the ball. He slid and broke a leg. I mean, these are things that are not going to happen every year.
High stakes. Does your strategy change at all when you're going in, or do you typically maybe – you want to take bigger risks? Are you safer? Like, what's your strategy? Especially talk to me about the first couple rounds when you're taking part in some of these drafts.
So one of the things I did is I outlined the whole – you got to win every category. You got to be able to compete in every category. So in a lot of leagues and a lot of experts, you'll hear, but dumping categories. You can't do that to win an overall prize, right? So you're trying to win your league, plus you're trying to have the best team overall. So you get the big cash, you're going to get the $100,000 grand prize or the $25,000 grand prize. So one thing is you can't dump categories. Second thing is, if you look at the pitchers in Major League Baseball and you look at guys that have a K per nine of 1 strikeout per inning, you get guys under a 3.50 ERA, and you guys a whip under 1.20, there's only 11 pitchers. I need to get two of them. I need to get two of them in my draft. So pitchers go early in high-stakes leagues compared to regular leagues.
So is one of those pitchers on your radar Yu Darvish?
Absolutely. I have him as the number 4 pitcher. I think he's really underrated. When you look at last year, what he did coming back after an injury, having a K per 9 of 11, they massaged him and threw him out there for 5-6 innings per start. I really think this guy is severely underrated. And as soon as we get close and people see him pitch in spring training, I think he's going to be right there. I would pick him over Syndergaard. I would take him over Chris Sale.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting because a lot of people are in on Syndergaard. Let's talk about that Mets rotation for a little bit. I mean, of course you have Syndergaard, but Tony, all of them at one point were hurt last season. I mean, you got Steven Matz, you got Jacob deGrom, you got Matt Harvey. Are you worried about – I mean, you're not worried about Syndergaard, but you would rather have Darvish. What about What about the rest of this Mets pitching staff? What
do you make one guy, I think there's one guy in extreme bargain right now. Jacob deGrom, I was able – this is a 15-team league when you play in the NFBC. I was able to get him in the 7th round. And when I look at that and see what he did at the beginning of the season, then what he tailed off in the second half of the season, I'm getting a real bargain here. You look into the stats right there, 2015 and 2.54 ERA. I think when you want to win a high-stakes title, these are the guys you have to hit on to win something like this. Everybody knows the players, right? You've got to get one guy that clearly outplays where you picked him or whatever auction dollars you spent on him. And DeGrom's one of those guys going to be in position to do this.
Do you think Chris Archer has terrific value this year? Yes. What do you make? Okay, so Chris Archer had a rough year last year. He got hit, and he got hit hard. He gave up a lot of home runs. He was rumored to be traded. Obviously, the Rays, Jose De Leon, they acquired him. Are they going to trade Jake Odorizzi? What do you make of Archer? He's not as bad as last year, correct?
No, he went into spring training last year and worked on one pitch during spring training. And he said it was the biggest mistake of his life. And it really caught up to him, and he could never feel comfortable. He couldn't feel comfortable, and he had a K per 9 of 11. This guy's a pitcher. I think he's the last elite pitcher that you can grab. When you get to that fourth round, there's going to be Chris Archer, and then there's going to be a huge drop-off to, like, Carlos Martinez, the St. Louis Cardinals. The significance of those two players is huge. You're talking about four strikeouts per start.
Yeah. K for 9 is a 10, and he's going like pitcher 30 in some drafts, which is unbelievable. Okay, one more guy, Tony, before we get you out of here. Josh Donaldson, we talked about him off the top. Sidelined 2 to 3 weeks with a mild calf strain. Do you think this is going to change at all value? And if you saw him drop down, you're just going to select him?
Because people,
Tony, I got Max Scherzer over the weekend in the third round because people are worried about a finger, and he may not start opening day.
The Scherzer thing is funny because I'll pick him every single time. Like, if he goes in a round two, I'm picking him every team. The Josh Donaldson thing is too. You sort of want this to happen.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to participate in spring training. I mean, the guy's been around forever. He don't need 6 weeks of spring training. This is a great thing. It's going to keep him fresh. I mean, the Cleveland Indians already said, hey, Corey Kluber, he ain't going to pitch much in spring training. If he's not ready opening days, oh, so what? You know, this is the thing you have when you have superstar players. This thing is so overrated on Josh Donaldson. Land him on my team.
Yeah, I like that too. When I hear about, and you know, Ashley always makes fun of me because I say things maybe the wrong way. Is like, yeah, I like when I hear about these injuries. Just like, oh, Chris, stop. I'm like, hey, it's all about finding value.
Yes.
Tony, we appreciate your time, man. Thank you so much, and let's do this again soon, okay?
All right, take care, my man.
Tony Sincato, give me a follow on Twitter and check out his work. No Mulligan Fantasy today, 3 o'clock Eastern on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Listen live or on demand. Check out the app. More from Tony Sincato later on in the week. High stakes week. Let's switch gears. Let's talk some golf. DFS PGA with Tour Junkies. Stick around. You're watching Fantasy Sports Today on Fantasy Sports Network. We are live here in Toronto. I'm Chris Meany. Thanks for taking the time to hang out. Let's switch gears and talk some DFS PGA. Let's bring in David Barnett from the Tour Junkies. David, how's it going, man?
Good, Chris. How are you? Good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time to join us. So the Honda Classic this weekend, averaging 1.768 strokes over par last year. The hardest par 70 of all non-majors for the second straight year. We got some of these top dogs who are taking the week off before WGC in Mexico. Matsuyama, Spieth, DJ, Day, Rory, Stenson. How do you attack this field, man? What's your strategy? What's the key strokes, your key stats you're looking at here?
Yeah, so I think this is one of those weeks where fading the top may pay off. The only one that I'm kind of digging is Adam Scott at the top. He seems to be really the only premier world-class player in this field. Obviously, Justin Thomas has been playing well. Fowler, I don't really like his price. Sergio is a pretty world-class player, but to me, Scott's the only one worth taking a stab on, but I'll probably, for the most part, drop down and take my chances, especially in large GPPs. I think I'll take a stand and fade that top four group and start building lineups in the 9K range.
So there's, four guys over 10K. You just mentioned them all, Scott, Fowler, Thomas, and Garcia. How do you feel about the pricing with DraftKings? Do you feel like they got it right this week?
Pricing much better, much more back to the norm that we're used to. We kind of got a tip they were going to do that last week, so it sounds like enough of us have made our cries heard. So that's good news. I do think there's some weird stuff down at the bottom, but that's normal. There's some 6K guys that I think are a little weird, but other than that, I'm pretty happy to see it, so that's good.
Are there any of those 6K guys that are weird? Are they weird in the right way where you want to put them in their lineups, or are they just... Okay.
Yeah, I think there are. I think there's a couple of them, actually. If we want to get into the scrubs right away, I think Wesley Bryan, coming off of a great finish at Riviera last week, is one to look at. Wesley, his finish at Riviera kind of surprised me. He's not really a bomber. He averages only like 288 off the tee, but he played that course really well. And now this is a course that really seems to suit his game a little better. He checks the box in driving accuracy. He's the Web.com Player of the Year from last year, so he's a high-class player. So I just think his price, considering his form, is a little off. And there's another scrub value down there I like in John Peterson, who his price is probably correct. But I love JP's recent form. He's actually doing pretty well. And we know JP personally, he's on our podcast a fair amount. He likes these more accuracy ball striking courses. Typically, the weak spot in his game has been scrambling and short game, but actually lately, he checks the box in scrambling and avoids the big numbers. And he's a pretty accurate ball, driver off the tee. So, John Peterson, another scrub down there that I like. That's catching my eye.
We started off with scrubs. Let's talk about some studs here. At least, you know, Daniel Berger and Russell Knox are players who have done well here before. You're shaking your head, yes. Are you going to continue to roll these guys out? The resume works itself out.
Yeah, I mean, Knox is pretty impressive. He's played the event three times, never missed a cut, made two top tens. And I think it does seem like right now Knox is getting talked up a fair amount. If that continues, that's going to suck because I would love to roll him out in a lot of GPPs. But I do think a lot of my cash lineups will start with Russell Knox. He grew up playing in the windy conditions, and PGA National is known to get a little windy at times. He lives in Florida right now, as a lot of these guys do. So I do think if it gets windy, he could play well. He's a straight ball hitter. He drives the ball as accurate as anyone. And he comes off the missed cut at Waste Management, but the Waste Management was a bomb and gouge golf course. I mean, Hideki, you know, destroyed that course. That course was not set up for Russell Knox. This one is. So, then he was in great form leading up to that. So I think Knox is a good play. And like I said, I'll start a lot of cash lineups there. For Berger, a little less history here and not as great a recent form, but this is a home game for him. He lives very close to the golf course, will be sleeping in his own bed. He plays well at courses like TPC Sawgrass, who are more, you know, reward the ball strikers and the accuracy guys. So look out for Berger. I think he could be a nice pivot in a GPP maybe off of Russell Knox.
You said the DraftKings, they got their pricing right. There's a lot of guys here, I think, with terrific value in the 7K range. Do you agree?
Yes, the 7K, once again, this is like last week. Whereas last week, I do think a lot of it was just wacky. But this week in the 7K range, you could easily run with six guys out of the 7K range. I don't recommend it, but there's some really good talent here in the 7K range.
Guys like what? Kevin Kisner, does he stand out for you? Brooks Koepka, Kyle Stanley. There's a few guys to me. Certainly Kisner, two top tens in his last three tournaments. Form seems to be okay.
Yeah, love Kisner. He's one of Pat and I's favorite plays of the week. Checking the box in accuracy, scrambling, strokes gained approach. Kisner likes golf courses like this. He's probably happy to be back over here on the East Coast, which is where he's from. He loves Bermuda greens, which we get back on from all the Poana stuff that we've had on the West Coast. Kis is a pretty much lock play for us this week. Kyle Stanley, let me give you some info on Kyle Stanley, a boring kind of guy right now, but he is plodding his way along. He's in fantastic form, checks the box in accuracy off the tee, strokes gained approach, and avoids big numbers, which is going to be key at PGA National. We've seen the cut line at this golf course, +3, +4 in the last couple years. This is not going to be a scoring fest like we've been used to. But what I also like about Kyle Stanley is last week at the Genesis, he was 11th in the field in strokes gained approach. He was 12th in the field in driving accuracy and 6th in the field in par 4, 450 to 500 scoring. There's five of those long par 4s here at PGA National, and if the form is that good, Kyle Stanley at that price tag I really like as a GPP or cash play for that matter. Now, you mentioned Brooks Koepka. That's an interesting one. This is also a home game for Brooks. He's very close to PGA National. I just feel like this is a good one to jump on. He burned about 20% of people on DraftKings last week. I think this is a good week for him. He loves tough golf courses. He said that on our podcast before, that he enjoys a tough golf course, and here it comes. So we're probably going to buy into Brooks this week. We faded him last week. We were one of the only ones that faded him last week, which paid off. But I think we're going to jump in this week.
David, we got to get out of here, unfortunately. We really appreciate your time. You mentioned the podcast. Quickly, where can people check that out? It's awesome that you guys get golfers on there.
Thanks, man. It's the Tour Junkies podcast on iTunes. You can find it on Stitcher if you're an Android user. You can also listen on the website, tourjunkies.net.
All right, David Burnett, thank you so much. Give him a follow on Twitter, Tour Junkies. We're out of here. Thanks so much for your time. I'm Chris Meaney. Oh, yeah, Julius Thomas back with Adam Gase. Who cares?